We are now ready to join our next guest, who is joining us by telephone as well. We welcome to the show Mr. Link Byfield. I think he pronounces his name. Hello, Link.
Hi, Terry.
Yeah, hi. Joining us tonight is Mark Hashek, co-host sitting in for Carrie Simpson.
Hi, Link.
Hi, Mark.
So, Link, I should get all this on the record in case our listeners and viewers don't know that Link and I worked pretty closely together for a better part of a decade and a bit with the Report family of magazines when I was editor of BC Report and then an associate editor of The Report and then vice president of the Citizen Center for Commerce and Reality or something. What was that called again? For Freedom and Democracy, that's right. We've both gone on to better things, I think. Maybe not better than the Report magazine, because that was a lot of fun. And one of the things that we had the most fun with was, because we had it all to ourselves, the field all to ourselves was covering the early days of the Reform Party of Canada. Nobody was covering them. We were covering them, right?
It was, as you say, a wide open field. The media just, first of all, ignored them as being sort of right-wing crazies. And when they became large and successful, they began attacking them. And we were the only people actually covering them properly.
Yeah. Now, I raise this now because the reason you're on the show tonight, one of the reasons is that you are, besides being a senator in waiting and besides being a candidate for the Provincial Wild Rose Party, you are involved in the organization of a get-together in Edmonton in September to mark the 25th anniversary of the founding of the Reform Party of Canada and also at the same time the very important role that the Report family and magazines had in that. Is that essentially correct?
That's what we're doing. Yeah, we're going to invite what people don't understand about the Report magazine, the Alberta Report and its and others, BC and so on, they actually ran for 30 years and they graduated, as it were, you know, dozens, probably hundreds of journalists and unleashed them on an unsuspecting continent. And,
right.
You know, it was funny, you know, you'll recall, Terry, because you were running BC, how many people we'd bring in. Usually they wouldn't have a journalistic background, they wouldn't have a journalism degree, but they'd have commendably conservative instincts and some talent for telling stories. And so we'd train them, and then after a while they'd move off and get a job in a newspaper somewhere. And we just kept doing this for 30 years, so you know, there's lots of them out there, and we'd like them all to come back and have a big party, because we were a big part. See, it wasn't just the Reform Party. It led directly to the May 2nd election victory of the Harper Conservatives. You know, that you can see it a direct line back to the founding of the Reform Party 25 years ago. So we thought, well, we should have a special evening where we, you know, get back together partly as journalists and also in a larger setting have former subscribers and former Reform Party members and MPs and so on come in and have a suitable 25-year anniversary, I guess.
Link, Mark Hashek here.
Yep.
I just wanted to touch on your get to your candidacy for the Alberta legislature. Correct me if I'm wrong, but the next provincial election in Alberta takes place sometime after 2013. Is that right?
Well, actually, no.
No.
We don't know when it will be. It can't be any time after March of 2013.
Okay.
It can be any time before then.
Okay.
See, in BC, you have fixed dates. Saskatchewan has fixed election dates. Manitoba, Ontario, they have fixed election dates. But Alberta, which is under the almost timeless governance of the Progressive Conservative Party provincially, has no fixed election dates because they like to leave us guessing.
Gotcha. So I was on your website today, and I noticed that on your list of issues, your priorities, the environment was right there. I'm wondering what green policy proposals we could expect from MLA Byfield.
Well, MLA Byfield, should he become one, will probably not be environment minister, so you don't need to worry about me.
Yeah, well, yeah, but Link, that's why I was so, maybe I shouldn't say surprised, but on your list of issues, it was up top. I know they probably weren't listed in terms of importance, but I would like to hear your thoughts on the environment.
Mark, what we've said all along as a party, you know, really since we grew and became sort of well-known, was that environmental law and regulation should be based on science. Our leader, Danielle Smith, actually became somewhat notorious a year ago when she pronounced that the science of climate change is not settled. Because you know and I know and everybody that sort of follows the issue knows that it's not settled. There are at least six different theories of climate, you
sure.
know, when it comes to carbon dioxide. And so all she was saying is, well, why would we invest billions of dollars in mitigating something in which the science is not settled? And so we take a fairly high priority, quite a high priority on making sure our province remains almost as beautiful as BC. But, some of us would say it's actually more beautiful, but we would probably be outvoted. Nonetheless, we do see the need for clean land, clean air, clean water. Every conservative does. The question is, well, will we build it all around these sort of radical and impossible theories that keep being flung at us by the transnational environmental movement? And our answer would be no, as little as possible. We need to have clean land, clean air, clean water, and we need to mean that. You know, we can't just say it, we have to mean it. I think our province has actually got pretty high standards, frankly, and we want to maintain them and maybe even improve them a little.
Well, it's there is a lot of misinformation out there, and Ezra Levant wrote a great book called Ethical Oil I would encourage everybody to read. It's kind of a case for Canada's oil sands, and a very interesting read. I want to kind of veer off into education right now. In
okay.
Alberta, the province funds up to 70% of private school costs. Can a private school really be considered private if taxpayers pay the majority of its budget?
I would say yes.
So why not dismantle Alberta's Ministry of Education and just do everything from a local level?
Well, I'm not sure that would be practical, but most parents, of course, are not interested in having a much larger role than they do at present in educating their children. Some would, and they tend to set the tone for the whole system. We found this. Ralph Klein's government was actually set a pretty good example on education. Just by empowering parents, you know, more than any other province. And we want to continue that carefully. You don't want to move too quickly in this area, but you do want to move. We think that, you know, if parents are given more responsibility, they will be more responsible. And if you continue to remove responsibility from them in an educational way, they will behave irresponsibly. You know, like, it's not rocket science. But I think that public education has been sort of seriously ideologized, if I can coin a verb.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's become something that goes well beyond the control of the parent, and it shouldn't have. You know, parents in the end, whether it's paid for privately, publicly, parents in the end have to remain the primary authority within the system. And if you give them that responsibility, enough of them will use it that it becomes an expectation among all parents that they are given a certain amount of choice and latitude in a funded system. Alberta's done quite a lot of work on this, and it's worked out quite well, and I think we should just continue to develop it.
Now, something interesting with the development of the Wild Rose Party, and it was the Wild Rose Alliance, of course, until just a week or so ago, and you lost the alliance part, and just stuck with Wild Rose, is, and I want to have a parallel with that with the Reform Party. The Reform Party grew almost in conjunction or with a lot of support from the Report family of magazines, which were, in a way, educating the public and maybe clearing some of the tough ground as well. And actually not just educating the public, but also giving words, expressions, and policies back to the party as well, and just and not in a formal way, but as our writers and our columnists would think out the issues that were confronting the people in the Reform Party. The people in the Reform Party would go, "Wow, gee, that's a good way of looking at it." Just like Ezra Levant in his Ethical Oil, you know, the federal conservative government saying, "Boy, that's a good way of looking at it. We'll use that language." And you're getting together next month or in September to sort of celebrate that. Is there can the Wild Rose Party succeed without a similar sort of a relationship or without a similar sort of media atmosphere in Alberta?
That's a very good question.
Thank you very much.
Well, I think the answer is there are many groups out there that are giving us the kind of language we need. You know, you need two things. You need the basic idea, you know, a good idea that's better than what's being done now. And it has to have been thought through. It has to have been researched and criticized and so on. And you need to be able to express it in language anybody could understand. Now, there are many groups around today that are doing that. You know, there's the, you know, the taxpayers, there's the, you know, there's the Fraser Institute, the Frontier Center for Public Policy, and so on. There are many groups doing this. There's always room and need for more. That's why, you see, Manning's, since he left politics, has set up this Manning Center for Building Democracy. And they do work like this. They actually are kind of a transition point between the theorists and the practical politicians. You know, they train the political candidates and things like that. And so this process still goes on, I think. But you're right. We at Alberta and BC and Western Report had a very sort of close and special role in helping the Reform Party think things through and express them properly.
Mm-hmm. Now, you also alluded to the fact that a lot of the people that came through our newsrooms ended up working for other publications or getting into politics or business themselves. A lot of them ended up at the National Post. There's still some some people at the Post. I think the Post is extremely important for Canada. I still get a paycheck from them now and again for stuff that I contribute. Is there some? How important do you think the Post is? Does it have much of an impact? I know I love it, but is it really have a public impact to the degree that, let's say, the Report magazines had in Western Canada during their heyday?
I'm not sure. I don't know the answer to what you're asking. It's a much different sort of. It's a much different thing now than what we had then. It's bigger, and there are more voices involved, and so on. Ours was almost like a little club, practically, you know, between the party in the West and in Ontario too, actually, in the magazines. It was almost the same organization. Some thought it was the same organization. It wasn't, of course. We were occasionally very critical of the Reform Party, or at least of its leadership, as you'll recall. But to outsiders, I'm sure they wondered if we weren't all just part of the same big organization. I'm not sure in the case of the Post, their founding editor, Ken White, of course, came from our magazine, you know, so did Mark Stevenson, his second in command. They're now both running Maclean's, and they've changed it into a much more interesting magazine. It reads like BC Reports cover, you know, week after week.
Yeah.
But the world's changed a lot. It's, you know, the communications end of things is so much bigger now. It's hard to make any direct parallels, I think.
Speaking of parallels, I've often thought of Stephen Harper's success and Ken White's success as kind of a parallel success.
That's true.
That's you know, they're both essentially Alberta guys. They're both kind of big lumbering kind of guys, and you know, not bombastic, kind of slow talking. I think Ken obviously has a sort of better sense of humor and stuff, at least publicly.
Well, fairly ruthless too.
They're tough. Yeah. In celebrating some of the successes sort of journalistically that this 25 years. I see that Ken White is going to be part of the program in the day anyway. Is there any sort of political... by the way, Ken now runs all of Rogers Media, apparently.
Yeah, that's true. He's moved on.
Is there any... back to sort of the original parallel, is there any inkling of Ken White's having a political aspirations in the long term?
Oh, I doubt it.
Yes.
I would fall off my chair if he ever got interested in politics. He's a journalist through and through.
Yeah.
And, You know, I've noticed this about, you know, since I've changed lives, I've slowly, over the last 8 years, gone from being a journalist to being a politician. And I notice that they are inextricably hooked together. They're like the opposite sides of a coin. The journalist's job, I realized after much thought, was to point out what's going wrong. And the politician's job actually is to point out what's going right. And, they both need each other.
Yeah. Well,
that's the weird part.
Yeah. As you know, it's a transition that I've sort of been interested in myself. I ran for a city council here in Coquitlam last year, and I'll likely run again in the fall. We'll see how that happens and how that affects my journalistic career. What remains of it. Anyway, that's a very broad thing. So tell me about the Reform Party. One more question before we throw it back to Mark here. In terms of the hardcore reformers, do they feel, even though the Conservative Party led by Stephen Harper, a former reformer, is now in power, Harper is now Prime Minister, is there a sentiment there that we just lost so much of what we actually believed in?
Oh yeah.
Will this reunion be a bittersweet thing then, not just a celebration?
I don't think so, Terry. I think there is that sense of the awful cliche the politicians always use is put a little water in the wine, you know. Well, it's almost to the point where you can't taste the wine, but when you look underneath, what Harper's done is move the goalposts, and a lot of people see this, but the process of goalpost moving requires immense patience and tenacity, on small points, you know, and they keep doing this, and I don't think anybody who was a reformer looking at the federal government today and comparing it to what it was like under Jean Chrétien would doubt that there has been huge progress made. And yet, where is it? It's very hard to put your finger on because it's almost environmental more than anything. And it will, you know, I think everybody expects it will slowly firm up. But at this point, it's subtle. It's very powerful, but very deep down. And there's a change in public expectations now that's actually quite real. So I don't think it'll be bittersweet. I think what it will be is a kind of thoughtful thing in a way, sort of, I hope, lively, but at the same time somewhat thoughtful, as to how change occurs in a stable democracy. It's not quick. You know, we all thought it would be quick, but we were wrong. It's not quick at all.
Link, getting back to your candidacy, again, on your website, I noticed you list property rights as an issue that you care a lot about.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder if you could tell us what you mean by that. There wasn't much explanation. And I also, maybe if you could touch on something that Calgary West MP Rob Anders has championed for a long time, and that's private land ownership on native reserves. If you have an opinion on that, I'd like to hear it.
Okay, well, on the property rights issue generally in the province, one of the things the Stelmach government has done that has alienated rural Alberta in a major way is it was brought in a land, it's called the Land Stewardship Act, and what it does is it allows for the province to be divided into seven major zones. And I can't go in chapter and verse into all the ways it attacks people's fundamental property rights, but it does. And it also attacks the sort of the old assumption that all private land is under essentially municipal jurisdiction. It's provincialized all of that. And so it's a huge centralization of power and a huge diminution of ownership rights around the province. That's why we get as passionate on this as we do, because what they've done is unique almost in North America and certainly in Canada. And very bad. You know, like, they didn't need to do any of this stuff. They did it because Ed Stelmach and his cabinet were basically control freaks. They wanted far more central power at the legislature in Edmonton and far less in the hands of ordinary Albertans. As far as the native issue goes, it's not really provincial. You know, how they run the reserves is federal. And so I don't suppose we have In fact, I know we don't have, big opinions about how reserves should be run.
Sure.
It's federal.
Good. Well, Link, I'm going to throw a little something different at you here, a little screwball.
Okay.
I have in front of me a rare copy of the limited edition Act of Faith book. I'm holding it up to the screen now, so the camera now, so some of our viewers can see it. It's a history of the early Reform Party that we put together.
I remember who published that.
That's right. And I'm going to read some quotes from the back of the book, and I want you to tell me who said them.
Okay, I'll try.
This was December 5th, 1988. We are no flash in the pan.
That's it? That's a quote?
That's a quote. We are no flash in the pan.
Well, I'm going to guess Preston.
Preston Manning did say that.
All right.
July 9th, 1990. The mood here is really quite cocky. If there's a quick election, we'll slaughter the Tories in Calgary West.
That sounds like Stephen Harper.
That's Stephen Harper, indeed it is. let's see here. This was June 24th, 1991. When I was elected in 1988, I thought it would be 10 years before we started to make inroads into Ontario. I don't think anything can stop us now.
I'm going to guess Deborah Gray.
You got it. Three out of three, Link. Congratulations.
Yeah, now you're going to do me test me on Lord of the Rings.
No, that's good. Well, you put the dates. I think were helpful.
Yeah, the dates gave them all away.
That's
if
right.
You know the
yeah.
history, you can guess.
That's
it from
right.
The
yeah, and there are. I think most libraries still have copies of the Act of Faith. I don't know how many other books are. I've got two copies remaining in my personal collection. I don't know how many else are out there, but that was a fun project to put together. One of them is, and we started by talking about how the mainstream media, by the way, on this show we call it the downstream media, weren't covering the Reform Party back in the early days. It was so bad, in fact, that at the founding Western Assembly that took place in 1988, is that right? No, 1980. When was the Western Assembly?
I think it was in 87. It was in the spring of 87.
Oh, hang on a second. Yes,
and I believe
May of
it followed.
May of 1987, Western Assembly on Canada's Economic and Political Future was held in Vancouver. 300 delegates from across Canada showed up. It was a big affair. The Report magazines had it on the cover for several weeks beforehand and a week or two after. Neither the Vancouver Sun nor the Vancouver Province devoted as much as a single word to the Western Assembly. They missed, right in their own backyard, the founding of the seminal event that led to the founding of the Reform Party of Canada. Totally missed it.
They kept that up, though. You'll recall that. Like, they paid virtually no attention to it for years.
Yes.
And until it became obvious that it was going to sweep, obvious to everyone but the federal conservatives.
That's right.
And then they began savaging it, quite consistently. And none of this helped. None of this prevented it from the Reform Party from winning right across most of the West.
Yeah.
It seems to work better in Ontario for some reason. They seem to believe what they read in the paper in Ontario. They never did here.
Well, I remember one of our famous cover lines after an election, I don't know when, mid-90s election setback or late-90s election setback in Ontario, where there have been high hopes for reform breakthrough, and Ontario once again was disappointing. And the cover story, that was when Stockwell Day was the leader, and the cover line was, "What's wrong with Ontario?"
I remember that now that you remind me of
that. That took a lot of chutzpah, that one. But I think it was more, what was wrong with the party, really, and Stockwell Day's leadership at the time. I thought, here's some chutzpah. What's wrong with Ontario? You're to blame.
Yeah, no kidding.
That was quite funny. Anyway, maybe there'll be a few old stories like that if I'm able to get out to Edmonton in mid-September. If people want to find out more about this Reform Party / Report magazine reunion, how can they find out about it?
You should have there, and I was sort of caught on the fly this afternoon. I don't have it with me here, but there's an email address where people can send an inquiry.
Yes, I have it. It's reportreunion report@gmail.com.
Yeah, that's it.
So
yeah, just send an email and we'll get back to you.
Reportreunion@gmail.com for former Report Magazine subscribers, former Reform Party, because I think the Reform Party list and our subscription list was one of the same.
Yeah, kind of the same list.
That's right. That would be very interesting. Reportreunion@gmail.com. The event is going to be held at the Coast Plaza Hotel in Edmonton on September 15th. So anyway, thank you for joining us here tonight, Link, and putting up with all of our guff.
I'm glad you invited me, and I hope people will get in touch with us. They don't have to have been former journalists of ours or anybody's. They can just be people that really like the movement, you know.
Yeah, good stuff. The movement. Yep. All right. Well, it's moved downstream now. Okay, good.
We'll talk to you again.
Thank you, Link. Good night.
Thanks for calling.
Bye-bye. And that was, of course, Link Byfield, former publisher of the Report Family magazines and now a senator in waiting. And I didn't ask Link about this, Mark, but Little Birdie has told me that there's a good chance he'll be appointed to the Senate next year because he's been through the election process in Alberta, and there's apparently going to be an opening in Alberta next year.
So. Right. Interesting.
That will derail his career with the Wild Rose Party, I would think.
Probably, yeah.
And I could find a way of sitting in both houses at the same time. I don't think so. Anyway, Link Byfield. So again, that was reportreunion@gmail.com if you wanted to find out more about that. And a lot of very interesting people that I met going through there. In British Columbia, by the way, two of the guys end up working very closely with Gordon Campbell for many years. Steve Vanagas was head of the caucus, was the chief administrator for the caucus for many years under Gordon Campbell's government. Dave Cunningham was right there with as well with in the premier's office in British Columbia as well. And both of them are now vice presidents of something in corporate communications and management and government relations with big corporations in British Columbia. So they went from Report Magazine through the political into business world. So there you go.
Well, I couldn't agree with you more about the Maclean's Magazine and Ken White. That used to be strictly dental office material, but it's a vibrant magazine now.
Absolutely. And I sometimes wonder if Ken had been able to stick around with the Report Magazines if that would have changed the eventual outcome of those Report magazines, but probably not. Different dynamics, and he got the resources to do what he needed to do with Maclean's, and it is a far, far better. And yes, sometimes it reminds me so much of the fun we had back at the Report, back in the day, anyway.